Louise Richards, Vice President of the New Zealand Geographical Society, joins us once again. She's joined tonight by Angus Dull, PhD candidate from the University of Auckland School of Environment. They'll be exploring artificial intelligence through a geographical lens. Louise and Angus, good evening to you both.
Kia ora,
thank you.
Lovely to speak with both of you. So the core question people ask is, what is AI? What is artificial intelligence?
That's absolutely right, Todd. And that's exactly the question that I started with when I was doing some teaching at the beginning of this term with my class, looking at artificial intelligence. I'd been inspired by some of the stories which were happening in the media. It seemed like every day there was something new about artificial intelligence. And then recently I met Angus at an EnderGS event where he explained about his research that he was doing. And that was also the very first question that he would ask his students. So I'll hand over to Angus to explain why he starts with that question and where it takes him.
Yeah, thanks, Louise. Yeah, I have to preface this with I'm no expert in AI, but my research, which looks at the making of cloud data centers in New Zealand, overlaps a lot with the AI realm. But I'll just give you a taste of what geographers or what geography brings to the study of AI. And there is this really common question, what is AI? And geographers sometimes like to answer that question by asking, you know, where is AI? Where do we find AI? As we try to answer that question, it quickly becomes a very messy exercise, but a very revealing exercise. So we might start by looking at ourselves and asking, you know, what kind of AI do we engage with in our lives? The most common one on the tip of everyone's tongue at the moment is ChatGPT. So maybe I'll start there as a little example.
Okay.
So ChatGPT is a large language model, and that's in basic terms, it's like a chat bot. So if you've ever, you know, been on a website and a little bubble has popped up and it's asked you a query, do you need help? Then you would sort of engage with that chatbot and ask it a few questions and it would produce a response. And that's all AI. So we're all already quite familiar with AI, and ChatGPT is a super advanced bot. So you can sort of query it for anything. It can produce code for you. If you're a student, like many of our students do now, they'll put their essay questions in there and they'll try to get the bot to produce a sort of legible essay for them. But if we ask ourselves, how do we engage with that? Where do we engage with that? The first thing people might say is their phones or their laptops. But if we probe a little further, what we find is that the computational power of ChatGPT, the actual functioning of the artificial intelligence that helps produce the answers that you're looking for, it doesn't actually run on your computer or your phone. And so if we begin to trace where it is, we find that actually there's these data centers. Data centers are large warehouses filled with computers. They're server farms is another common term. And these are dotted all around the world, and they are this essential bit of the material infrastructure of AI. So they help run all kinds of different AI there. And these data centers also happen to be the place of the cloud. So if you've ever accessed OneDrive or Google Drive, you're accessing these giant warehouses filled with these servers. And AI runs on that. So ChatGPT will run on a Microsoft Azure data center. And you know, all the big tech companies have these kinds of data centers. So as we ask this question, where is AI? Where do we find it? We begin to expose this infrastructure. And as we do that, these other really interesting questions start to come about. You know, that these data centers, you might have seen this in the news a bit more recently, they've come into kind of critique for amount of the amount of energy that they require. They require enormous amounts of electricity, enormous amounts of water cooling to cool the data centers. So AI, we can begin to see how AI is actually, it relies on these resource economies. It relies on this intense amount of power. You know, there was a study recently produced that shows roughly that one ChatGPT request is roughly equivalent to a 5-watt bulb running for 26 and a half hours a day. You know, it sounds like a simple exercise at the start, but as you ask it, you can't help but engage with the politics behind this stuff. And I guess one final thing I'll just add to that is that New Zealand is a really interesting place for AI. The big tech companies, they really want to green their infrastructure at the moment. They're very aware that the public is becoming aware of this energy intensity. And so New Zealand is actually a great place to set up a data center. We have ample renewable energy. We have ample water for cooling. We'll fare relatively better versus other nations under climate change. And so what we're seeing is that big tech is seeing New Zealand as this place to set up data centers, a place to set up kind of the core spots for running AI. And so Amazon, and this is where my thesis is looking at, Amazon Web Services has decided to set up a hyperscale data center here in Auckland, a $7.5 billion investment. And I'm looking at the kind of ramifications of that. Wow. So that's a short taste of
Thank you. I'm glad that's the short explanation. Thank you. That's good. What I really want to know, and it's an odd question, what does the GPT stand for in ChatGPT?
I can't actually tell you that. Louise, do you have an answer?
Louise?
You know, I should do, because it's become such a big issue in schools. But no, that has challenged me there with knowing what that understands. I'll probably have to go and look that up after this.
That's right. Dr. Google will have that, no doubt. You know, we talk about AI as being a negative thing. A lot of people, I find it hard to understand what it's all about. My brain at the moment, there's a swing in there with a rusty chain going in there. But, you know, it's a very good thing. I mean, there are some positives about artificial intelligence, you know, infrastructure, economies, politics, big tech, you know, the list goes on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's like anything, there will be positives and negatives to you know, the advancement of technology. I mean, there'll be, you know, some that will say that actually it could be the answer to answering some of our biggest challenges that we face, which is what, you know, geography as a subject is very good at doing. We ask those difficult questions and we look for the answers for it. But I mean, what I suppose fascinates me more than anything is this really shows us how the subject of geography, we're about places and spaces. And as Angus has just explained, you know, this is very much about a place, but perhaps not traditionally how we consider places to be physical locations, but rather sort of spaces and places which are virtual, if you like. And so, yeah, absolutely, there will be positives and negatives to AI. But, you know, it's a fascinating subject for us to consider as geographers.
Now, I see one thing out of this, and maybe I'm just looking at very simplistic, is that a lot of people, for example, can't get overseas, but they could use artificial intelligence to almost, on their computer, make it feel like they're there, taking a trip everywhere and seeing everything.
Go on, Angus.
No, you go, Louise, please.
I was going to say that the idea of virtual field trips is one which has been used in schools and education. Whilst I'd never want it to replace the actual idea of being able to go on a physical field trip, it is certainly something which AI enables people to do. I mean, as well, the use of GIS and AI in geographical information systems and mapping is incredible, as huge advancements have been made. And you know, if we think in recent times with what's happened with the pandemic, that would have been used extensively to look at that disease and the pandemic. So, yeah, I mean, a great use of AI there.
Mm. You know, a lot of questions are raised about AI, geography-based questions, a much larger set of tools to make sense of the AI moment? Is that a fair sort of explanation, Angus?
Yeah, I think geography is really well placed. I think a lot of people have a misconception about geography as sort of being crusty old sort of people in a room somewhere looking at maps. But I think geography is really well placed to talk about AI at the moment, particularly in New Zealand, where we face, like you say, somewhat of a digital moment. I mean, New Zealand is assembling the New Zealand government's assembling a national digital strategy to kind of start, you know, trying to comprehend these questions, especially after things like the Christchurch mosque attacks and cyber terrorism involved in that. You know, we've got the transformation of our science research system underway at the moment, and AI poses big questions for that. But these questions that geographers ask about where and what is AI, what is actually the stuff of this thing, I think is coming at a good time, because what it's telling us is that, you know, there is no one AI. When we map this stuff out and we expose it, it's actually really complicated. It's extremely messy. And so the question for us as geographers sort of becomes, you know, what kind of AI for what place? You know, how does the place like New Zealand affect how AI is shaped and how it operates?
Now, you'll be delighted to know, Louise, ChatGPT, Chat Generative Pre-Trained Transformer.
Excellent. I will be able to go in and wow my class with that knowledge tomorrow.
I think that explains it. I mean, we could talk forever about artificial intelligence. It is fascinating, and I find, as someone, I'll say, over the age of 60, I find it a little hard to understand and make out. I'm a little old-fashioned. I still use money, for example. So, yeah, it's going to just be part of life. My granddaughter will understand more in about a year than I ever will, I think.
I think as well that, you know, the more you look at it, I would have probably said the same as you a couple of months ago, but sort of having to do some background reading and researching about AI, we use it so much already in our day-to-day life, and that's sort of an interesting angle as well, that people think that it's something to come and that it's, but it's already here, it's already happening, and it's probably happening at such a rate that there are things that checks and balances that need to be considered. I mean, Angus has talked about the issues of sustainability and the impact on the environment. Sometimes with this rapid development of technology, we're not keeping up enough to monitor or to explore sort of what the checks and balances of that should be. And there's also, you know, we haven't even talked about the sort of geopolitical implications of AI and which countries are able to hold that data, which countries have the technology for AI, and how that can upset that balance between countries in terms of power. So, you know, an absolutely fascinating sort of topic. And it was really good to connect with Angus to show that how something that can be done, you know, in a school, in a classroom, is happening at that sort of top level research.
Well, the wheel is going round in my brain. Angus Stahl, thank you so much. Louise Richards, who's the Vice President of New Zealand Geographical Society, and Angus Stahl, PhD candidate from University of Auckland School of Environment. Thank you both for the explanation, a little explanation, and plenty more to think about and talk about.